We have been looking at these examples of faith: Abel, Enoch, Noah, and now Abraham and Sarah. And we want to see how this applies to our own lives here in this world, especially our lives considered as a pilgrimage. As we come to this example, Abraham and Sarah, we find a sort of pause here in Hebrews 11 to summarize their example from verse 13 all the way up to verse 16. And then Abraham appears again in verse 17. So this is a natural pause and a natural place to summarize and reflect on these examples that we have seen thus far. But we'll come to that later on. First, we want to consider the example of Abraham and the example of Sarah, how both of them, each of them, displayed faith in the way that they behaved. We begin with Abraham, who was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and then again out of Haran. Called to go to a place that he had not known before, and a place which he would only receive afterwards. As we read in Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, I will give this land to your seed. Abraham, while he was alive, did not own the land. He did not rule over the land. He was a stranger in the land. He lived in tents. He did not have a great city of his own, a great palace of his own. And yet the land was to be his, given to his seed, to his descendants. It was an inheritance promised by God. But later, he would only receive it afterwards. It's an inheritance that his descendants would possess. And again, at this point in Genesis 12, how many descendants did he have? None, right? Not even humanly any possibility of descendants. And yet God says, go to this place where you've never been before, where they don't know you, and I will give it not to you directly, but to your descendants for an inheritance. Humanly speaking, there are many things wrong with this promise, many things unbelievable about this promise. And yet Abraham believed and obeyed, as the apostle says here. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, we shouldn't take that to mean that he went blindly. The point is not that he went blindly, but the point is really that he was relying completely on the promise of God. He had no other knowledge but what God had said. This was a complete reliance on God's promise. So not blind, but faith in God's word. Faith is not blind. There is an object. There's something we're looking at. That something is the word of God. So it was with Abraham. He didn't go out blindly, but he went out completely trusting in God. Humanly speaking, again, this was a very foolish thing to do, but not by faith. Not when faith has laid hold on God's promise. Then it's the right thing to do. Indeed, the only thing to do, to obey, because God has spoken. So his faith was strong enough to overcome these obstacles. The seeming obstacles of a seemingly unbelievable promise. The obstacle also of a long and difficult journey, where Abraham had to go to Canaan, was not nearby but far away, a very different place from anywhere that was familiar to him. And plus, at the end, again, because God said this inheritance will be for your children, for your descendants, at the end of this journey, he had no place of his own. Imagine, I guess you're at the age where you work, right? You get jobs, you apply for jobs, you have interviews, Imagine you're applying for a job and they tell you, okay, we'll have to post you to another country. You'll have to go to China, let's say. But we have no place there. No office, no building, no house, no accommodation, nothing. You just go. We have nothing to offer you. You just go and you'll have to live on the streets. You wouldn't take up such an offer, right? There's nothing waiting for you there. But that's the way it was for Abraham. He's going to a place, God says, I will give it to you, but to your descendants. When you are there, you will have no city to call your own. No house to call your own. You will have to live in tents. You will have to wander about from place to place. It's yours, but not yet. And yet, Abraham believed. And he obeyed. He lived as a stranger and a pilgrim. Verse 8, by faith he went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Another dimension to this faith. He had to teach his children that they would have to live as strangers and pilgrims, that Isaac would not have this for his possession. Jacob would not have this for his possession. Only later. Remember Genesis 15. God said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be stranger in a land that is not theirs. 400 years they will be afflicted, and after that they will come out. The sins of the Amorites are not yet full. After 400 years, then your descendants will inherit this land. Abraham believed. He taught his children God's promise that they would also have to live as strangers and pilgrims. It's not easy to live in a tent. Some of you, I'm sure, have that experience. It's not easy to live in a tent, especially when there are cities nearby. There's a great allure to city life. Even then, back then, cities had walls and gates. Nowadays, not really. But back then, there were walls and gates. The city was much safer. You could go in. At night, the gates are closed. There's a watchman. The robbers and bandits are all outside, at least the really dangerous ones. There's much safety in the city. Outside, in the tents, you're exposed. Your flocks and herds are exposed. All your possessions are exposed. And then also in the city, there's community. We experience this. Community and convenience in Singapore. At midnight, at 2 a.m. If you want food, you can get food. You want to go out and buy something, you can go out and buy something. There are places. There's convenience. If you live out in the country, there's nothing. There's nothing around. Everything is, you have to do it yourself. There's no one to call. The nearest shop is maybe half an hour away. There's a great deal of convenience to city life. Lot was allured by this. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. There was a great attraction for him. The hustle and bustle of city life. The community. The prestige. Being looked up to by others. You sit in the gate. Everyone looks up to you. There was a great allure in all these things for Lot. And he was ensnared by this. It took something to stay as a stranger and a pilgrim. It wasn't an automatic thing. It was a choice, a deliberate choice, a consistent choice, a choice that had to be maintained against this temptation. How did Abraham manage it? By faith. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. What did faith have to do with it? Why was it faith for Abraham to live as a stranger and a pilgrim, to dwell in tents instead of in the city? It's not wrong in and of itself to dwell in a city. We live in a city. But it was because of God's promise to Abraham that this land will be yours will belong to your descendants. I will make of you a great nation, and I will give this land to that nation. That promise meant that Abraham had to keep himself separate. He could not assimilate himself into the life of any Canaanite city, because if he did, then he would lose his identity. His descendants would no longer be a separate nation. They would be Canaanites. Then what would become of the promise of God? That wasn't what God said to him. God said to him, I will make your descendants a nation, and they will inherit this land. Abraham understood he had to keep himself separate. And so he lived in tents. He did not join the city. He did not make himself part of the Canaanite people, because his calling was from God to be separate. He lived as a stranger and a pilgrim. He taught his children the same. So, for example, in Genesis 18, when Sodom was going to be destroyed, this is what the Lord said of Abraham. Genesis 18. Verse 17, when the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of. Abraham will command his household, his children. He will keep himself separate, teach them to be separate, the way of the Lord, so that all that God had promised, all that God had said, will come to pass upon Abraham. We can see this even more also when we contrast Lot. Lot went into the city. What happened to him? Did he maintain any kind of witness and testimony for the Lord? Did he maintain his identity? No. He lost it. He was one of them. In fact, he was not even properly accepted by them. Even though he sat in the gate, the moment he confronted them, the moment he refused to bow to their demands, they said, this man is a stranger. How can he tell us what to do? His children were married off to the people of Sodom. So much so that even his daughters who were married, he could not bring with him when he left. They refused to go. His sons-in-law laughed at him. He was like someone mad to them. He lost that identity. He lost that witness. He lost that testimony. But Abraham did not. It was by faith. By faith, he dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. He knew that city life was not his inheritance from God, but the whole land given to his descendants. He knew that all human cities are founded on sand and will return to the sand. But he was looking for a heavenly city, whose builder and maker is God, as we read later on. A heavenly city, a heavenly inheritance. And you see, the same thing applies to us. Yes, we are in a city, but the same promise applies to us, the same call applies to us, the same separation applies to us. We also have to preserve our identity as God's people, not the people of the world. We also have to guard our witness and our testimony. We also are looking not for any earthly city, but for a heavenly city. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5, if this earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a house above, made by God. Right? That's what we are looking for. Hebrews 13, verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Abraham's faith is an example for us. This world is not our home. We are strangers and pilgrims like Abraham. We may not dwell in a literal tent or tabernacle, But the principle applies. We must not see ourselves as belonging to this world, as citizens of this world ultimately, but citizens ultimately of heaven, of God's kingdom. We are here as strangers and pilgrims. By faith, we must live that way. We must not be allured by this city life, allured by the conveniences, the entertainments, the carnality of the world. Because these things are not ours. This is not our hope. This is not our rejoicing. This world is not our home. We must really understand that. We live in the world, but not of the world. Our hope is not here, but above. We have no continuing city here. But our eternity is with God, in His kingdom, with the Lord. That must be our affection. That's the life of faith, for us also. How do you live in the world? How do you use the things of the world? What things do you enjoy? What things do you indulge? Are these the things that are pleasing to God or not? Are you clinging to the things of this world? Are all your ambitions here? Are the most important things here or above? We have to examine ourselves in light of this example of Abraham. This is by faith, not by sight. We don't see these things yet any more than Abraham saw those things. But by faith, we live this way. Because by faith, we know what we cannot see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's the example of Abraham. But then Sarah also is mentioned here. And this is interesting. The focus of the Genesis account is on Abraham. Sarah is sometimes mentioned, not in a very good light. In Genesis 16, she is the one who suggested Hagar. Genesis 18, when the three strangers came and said to Abraham, God's promise, Sarah will bear a son. Sarah laughed and she was confronted by them. Why did you laugh? She had moments of doubt, moments of weakness. Abraham also, similar faults and failings are recorded of him. But Sarah also is an example of faith. And so she is mentioned here. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Sarah went with Abraham. She left the comfort of home. She followed Abraham. She also lived in tents. That wasn't easy for her any more than for him. In fact, perhaps it was even more demanding for her. And there is hardly a record of any complaint as they moved from place to place, as they lived always in tents and tabernacles. The children of Israel wandering through the wilderness, hardly a week went by when they were not complaining. But Sarah faithfully went with Abraham. Moreover, it was through her faith that she was strengthened to conceive. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. And that's a striking way of putting it. It's not that faith itself gave her the strength, but God did. But faith is how we receive God's gifts. Faith is how we receive God's promises. Faith lays hold of the promise and receives it. So Lord Jesus says in Mark 11, when ye pray, whatsoever things ye ask, believe that ye have them and ye shall receive them. Faith lays hold of God's promise, receives the gift with assurance. But of course, faith is fixed on God's word and submissive to His will. Faith is not just demanding what we want. Faith is not insisting that we must have what we want. Faith is not blindly believing that we will get whatever we want. But faith is grounded in God's word. So when we ask amiss, we do not receive, James tells us. But when we ask in faith according to God's word, then we ask in confidence because we have His word. Through faith, Sarah received that strength that the promise of God might be fulfilled, and she gave birth to a son. Even though it should have been impossible, yet because she judged him faithful, she was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Her faith was grounded in God's word, in God's character. Again, that's the nature of faith, to take God's word as His word, to depend on it because He is dependent. God's word is true because He is true. God's word is dependable because He is dependable. She judged Him faithful who had promise. So she believed. By faith, the promise was fulfilled. And there was great fruit. Therefore sprang there even of one, the faith of Abraham and Sarah both, resulted in this. Sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. That's a remarkable thing, for a whole nation to come from one man and one woman. Both of them past age. It's the power of God. Not man's work, but God's work. And yet, faith is instrumental. Faith sees how weak we are, but lays hold on God's greatness and God's strength. So we have learned from these examples a great deal about faith. The kind of worship that faith leads to, the kind of life that faith leads to, how faith responds to the warnings of God, how faith responds to the promise of God. We've learned from all these examples, from Abel, from Enoch, from Noah, from Abraham and Sarah. Now the application, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These all, the faithful, did not live to see the ultimate fulfillment of the promises in which they believed. They died in faith, not having received the promises. But they saw them afar off, but they saw them and were persuaded of them and embraced them. They believed in God's promise. They were able to rejoice in them. Lord Jesus says in John chapter 8, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. He really believed in the promise of God, even though it was far off, thousands of years away. But he saw it and embraced it, and it gave him joy by faith. And so they have this commendation. Back in verse 2 of Hebrews 11. By it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. That's an example for us. Yes, a great deal has been fulfilled. But there is more awaiting fulfillment. There are promises that have not yet been fulfilled. We are still waiting. There is more to come. We must live by faith, just as they did. We also must look forward to something that may be far off. We believe, we embrace it, we rejoice in it, we live now in light of it. Thus, they lived as strangers and pilgrims because they were looking for the promise. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. This is not my home. That means somewhere else is my home. Some other place. We are seeking a country, not here, but elsewhere. Here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And this is important because, again, verse 15, that's the particular application. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they had wanted to, they could have returned. Abraham could have turned back, could have gone back to Haran. His family was still there. He sent Isaac to get his wife. Jacob also went back. His family was still there. He could have gone back. He could have been like Lot, just given up and gone into a city and just made his home there. If he had been mindful of this earthly country, if that's where his mind was set, if that's where his affections were set, he could not have persevered in this life of a stranger and pilgrim. But now they desire a better country that is in heaven. Because of that faith, they persevered in the life of a stranger and a pilgrim. And this is the great burden of the apostle in this epistle, especially in this part of the epistle. This is what he is emphasizing. Remember how chapter 10 ended. Verse 39, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Verse 38, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. He is calling us, exhorting us to the perseverance of faith, to persevere in the life of faith, not to give up, not to turn back. And that's why he gives all these examples. They didn't turn back. Abraham and Sarah didn't turn back. If they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They were looking for something better, a better country. So they did not turn back. They persevered. What shall it profit a man? Gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Who will trade that better country, that heavenly country? What if the devil were to offer you all the kingdoms of the world to bow down and worship you? What can compare to the kingdom of God? What profit is it if you give up that heavenly country, that heavenly city, that heavenly kingdom, and choose this passing world, this counterfeit, this emptiness, this vanity? That's the example here. That's the application. That's the exhortation. Persevere in the life of faith. By faith, they saw something infinitely better. They were persuaded of it. They embraced it. And they lived in light of it, awaiting it, confident in receiving it. And therefore God was not ashamed to be called their God. He did not deny them. They did not deny Him. How many on that day will be clamoring for the Lord and He will say, I never knew you. But if we are not ashamed to confess Him, to live for Him, to follow Him, to be citizens of His kingdom, then He will not be ashamed of us on that day. He will not turn us away. He will not say, I never knew you. Because by faith we know Him. We see Him afar off. We embrace the promise and we live in light of it. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. That's what the Lord says to us also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. That's the Lord's promise. 2,000 years As Peter says, they will come in the last day scoffers. Where is the promise of his coming? 2,000 years, nothing. But by faith, though it may be far off, we see it and embrace it and live in light. And we know that one day we will receive all that God has promised. We know it by faith, not by sight. We know it by faith. And that's how we live. So this is the exhortation for us also. All these examples, they set their affection on things above. They desire that heavenly country, that heavenly city. And it's the same for us. In fact, it should be even more for us, because we see even more than they see. Even more is revealed to us than what was revealed to them. What did Abraham have to go on? We have all of Scripture. We have all the promises of God recorded for us. We have all the more reason to walk by faith. We have more of God's word for faith to lay hold on. And we have so many examples who have come before. Chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have so many examples. Those who have come before have lived by faith and won the prize. All the more then, we should persevere. All the more then, we should lay hold of God's promise and God's word. Live as strangers and pilgrims. Not because we have no home, but because our home is not here. We have a home, but it is not here. Life as a stranger and pilgrim is not easy. You are surrounded by the world. You are surrounded by temptation. Faith is what will enable you to persevere. Believe what God says. Believe His word. Believe His promise. Believe that the things that are above are infinitely greater and more precious than anything here. Believe, embrace, and live in light of that promise. Walk by faith, not by sight. Persevere in that life of faith. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, for this reminder, and for the many examples recorded for our learning and our admonition. Truly, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and we have the Lord Jesus Himself, our perfect Savior, our perfect example, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray you would help us to run with patience. You know the struggles and temptations that we face. We pray you will quicken us and revive us as we faithfully meditate on your word. Help us to see. Help us to see by faith the beauty and glory of your kingdom. Help us by faith to look on the Lord Jesus. The things of earth may grow strangely dim. Pray you will be with each one of us and help us in this. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.